All right. Welcome, everybody, to another solution-driven version of Security Guy Radio, now securityguytv.com. My special guest today, Jason Nagy of JNMSecuritySolutions.com. Wait a minute. Let me give you the shameless plug. There's the graphic. Check them out, JNMSecuritySolutions.com. And today we're going to talk about, well, Jason, I'm going to tell you what we're going to, you're going to tell us what we're going to talk about, because this is a very specific thing we're going to address with what you do today.
Yes, thank you, Chuck. So JNM Security Solutions, we're a security solutions integrator, right, servicing local, state, and federal governments. We work a lot with our law enforcement community in our cities and communities, helping them to create safer solutions for us nationwide. And so traditionally what we've been into is in the CCTV market, right? Security cameras, inside plant and a little bit of outside plant. But really what our core is working with our law enforcement communities and our law enforcement teams in building and designing security systems that span an entire.
Oh, lost you there for a second. Jason, you cut out for 1 second. Hold on 1 second so we can get you back. Are you there still?
Yeah, right here.
Oh, sorry about that. So you cut out. So you're explaining kind of how you work with local law enforcement stuff. And really, a good way to describe it would be a mounted security solution, right? So distinguish that for me between, you know, an installed system, a remote surveillance, a remote monitor system. This is a very specific use, right?
Sure, absolutely. So your traditional citywide security system would be to design a dedicated wireless network and then place cameras throughout the city where they have the ability to see wireless nodes throughout the city. Okay. But over the years, what we've gotten requests from our clients was, we want to place cameras in certain parts of the city where there's crime that's occurring that we need to be able to capture. Well, unfortunately, the wireless network that they've built doesn't necessarily reach those areas, right? And it's not necessarily cost effective enough to build out this wide area wireless network to put one camera in a location to capture, crime that's occurring. So what we've done is we've created a solution that gives you that entire camera solution or what we call a mounted surveillance solution, because today it's not necessarily just about cameras. There's a multitude of different types of sensor technology that you can capture. Yeah, that
Good
you
point.
Can
yeah.
capture different things that are occurring, and essentially puts it into a small form factor enclosure that a single person can pick up, carry it to that part of the city, mount it to a pole, a building, a billboard, a tree, and I'll get back to that in a minute because that sounds a little different, but I'll explain later. and you have immediate eyes on scene, capturing what's happening in that area, not just visually, but we can also listen, we can smell, and we can capture other things that are happening in the environment around the camera that are important, not just visually, but sensorily as well.
All right. I'm intrigued. You got me hooked. So talk about the smellorama, I guess, as we might call it. Or the sense around. Remember earthquakes, earthquake vision back in the 70s, all that earthquake sound, all that stuff. Tell us how we can smell something on a camera. I get the sound part. Oh, Jason, you cut out again. Hold on 1 second. It's just one of those days. I think it's too hot here in LA and all the systems are shutting down. Okay, so can you hear me? Oh, we lost Jason again. Darn. All right, we'll get him back in 1 second. He's coming. His picture's there. We can still see you. Are you back?
Yeah, I'm right here. I can hear you just fine.
There we go. Sorry about that. Okay, so tell us about some of these different sensors. So I'm really intrigued by the old days. You saw a camera. By the way, you took the camera to the police department and said, there's a picture of a guy robbing a store. And you go, yeah, I know that. I got robbed. But it's useless because you can't see anything. But technology's improved now. If we can add sound and atmosphere and smell and things like that, that's important. So tell us about that.
So the solution that we put together that gives you the ability to place this, immediately in areas where you need it the most, we call it the Nomad because it can move at will, right? It basically gives you the ability to these different things happening in the environment, anywhere you want, whenever you want, Okay. And so not only are the like you had mentioned, the cameras are much, you know, more robust now with, you know, higher megapixels, greater views, but they also have the ability to capture sound. So you can hear a gunshot. You can hear someone scream. You can hear a car collision. You can hear glass breaking. And the system will differentiate between those sounds and be able to send an alert to somebody immediately when one of those things occurs. In addition to that, we can add additional sensor technology to the equipment to smell for certain things in the environment, smoke, different types of chemicals, biohazard detection, even nuclear detection. We can incorporate that all into this one simple enclosure and immediately drop it into the street and listen, look, and smell for these things.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, what about power? I mean, are you using battery solutions or local power, or how, especially about a tree? So you got to tell me how you get power into the tree.
Right. So traditionally, these cameras are mounted on utility poles, either utility poles, DOT poles on the side of the street, and you're tapping the grid power that's available.
Okay.
We have the ability to tap off the back of street lights. That's pretty common today. But we also have the ability to run these on solar and battery. So we can completely remove any dependencies upon grid power. So now this even expands the ability to place this equipment in different areas and in different environments and not have to rely on the power. And as I mentioned before, we could literally take one of these mounted surveillance solutions, strap it to a tree, strap the battery and the solar solution to the tree, and power it indefinitely.
So tell me what's attractive to a city. We were talking before the show, and I want to make sure I got this right. It might have been cost prohibitive years ago to wire the entire city with every camera in every corner, especially where, you know, in my zip code, absolutely nothing happens except somebody steals your newspaper once in a while and it's your neighbor. But now that these things are mobile and fairly easy to mount and get into place, you can slip them into a crime area and put it in there, and it's cost effective.
Exactly. It's exactly what it is. So when you call us and you tell us about what your needs are, we can design the system. They're scalable. So we can scale up, we can scale down. It all depends on what your needs are. You tell us what problems you're having, what it is you're trying to capture, what it is you need to see, and we can design the system, build it, test it, configure it, ship it to you, and it's ready to run right out of the box. You literally take it out, mount it to wherever you need to, plug in the power, and you're up and online and you're running. Simple as that.
Even for cops?
In the past, if you wanted to put a camera. Oh, yeah, especially. We just, okay. In that, not
just
to,
checking.
You know, we work with police every single day. we're engineers at heart. We understand this stuff. We know that, you know, there's a lot of law enforcement that, you know, and we love the law enforcement community. We're very pro law enforcement. We support them day in and day out. And we support our troops as well. And, we know that their job is to fight crime every day, not to try and figure out how one of these things works.
Right.
Okay. That's our job. We design it. We build it. We'll train you how to use it. And then, you know, we don't just drop it on your doorstep, say, here you go, here's some training, have a nice day. We partner with you. We work with you. We have a really great help desk, very smart people. You have a problem, you pick up the phone, you call us. We'll either walk you through it or we'll remote into it and we'll fix the problem for you. We understand that your job every day is to fight crime, not to fight our equipment.
Now, at the core, you guys are an integrator. This is a really important concept because not everything talks to each other all the time and doesn't easily integrate. It's getting better, right? But eventually my refrigerator is going to be able to log in and talk to your camera in the Internet of Things. When you come into something, how easy is it to integrate into a city system, which may have one manufacturer for cameras, one manufacturer for street cameras, I mean body cams, right? Street cams, I don't know what else. You know, some might have listening devices. How do you wire all this stuff together?
So, yeah, we work with the manufacturers, right, as a true integrator would. So we talk to them, we become very familiar with them, and we try to integrate with them as well, Okay. And so we try to dive deep into their technology and find where the commonalities lie. And then, you know, our team with our developers and the folks that can write code for us and so on, we work with the APIs and the SDKs, and we try to bring that all together under one umbrella. So it makes it much more seamless. Now, there is always going to be proprietary pieces to every single device. But again, we try to find that commonality and we try to bring that under one umbrella so that it's easier to operate and maintain, because obviously we're going to maintain it for you, but we also want to make it easy for you to operate.
Right. So let me put on the security guy radio / TV glasses here, and let's click on some graphics of some of these solutions we have in the field.
Sure.
And you tell me what they are. So let me push this up here. All right. So what are we looking at here?
That's one of our license plate recognition cameras. That is, we're partnered with Vigilant Solutions out of California. Fantastic company. They are really driving the market on LPR technology and the software behind it. They have the largest right now database that's nationwide that all accredited agencies that are connected to the system can share all of their data. So essentially, in a nutshell, a car runs through one of these readers, it reads a plate, and we can essentially tell you anywhere that car's been in the country in the past 90 days.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, this is just for agencies that are connected to the system, police agencies.
Well, police agencies, correct, but there also is a private side to that as well. So Vigilant really kind of got their start in the repo business. They were handing these out to the spotter vehicles and just reading plates throughout parking lots and malls and places and things of that nature, looking for vehicles that were on their list to reclaim. So there is a separate database that contains that. Those are kept separate. They're kept segregated from the rest of the world. So if you're a repo guy and there's another repo guy down the street, you don't share that data. The only time you're sharing data is if you're an accredited agency and you're connected to the system, and then you share that data from agency to agency.
Now, I ask everybody this question when I have one about data integration. Would there be a way to share that data blindly for the benefit of everybody? So I get that agencies can say, look, this car has been at this studio, it's been at the Hoover Dam, it's been at the Statue of Liberty. We see it driving all around the country. But what about the private sector where this camera might show up? Maybe it shows up outside Disney. We had a car one day at Disney that went to all three of our studio locations in LA, and it just happens my guards caught it visually, and comparing logs, we caught it, right? Couldn't we share that data, and might we find even a bigger collection of, wow, look at this guy that's surveilling private property too? Could we do that eventually?
Well, that we have laws, right, in this country, which are great, right? And we support those as well. And so it was explained to me, and this is a funny story. A lot of people it runs the gamut. You have people that are very pro license plate recognition technology, and then you have folks that are against it.
Oh.
If you look at this in a nutshell, and we went to the Virginia Sheriff Show here a couple months ago, and one of the sheriffs said something to me about this, that every license plate on every car, you don't own that. You rent that plate from your state.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
so
point.
That actual plate that's attached to it is very true. Right. It's a very good point. And it dawned on me then that that's a very valid point, right? Now the data behind that, right? You're renting that plate, doing the quotes in the air, but that plate is assigned to you as a person. So there is some personal data behind that that's in the DMV database. The way Vigilant works is, and the way the laws are, the CJIS certification, right? Center for Justice Information Systems. They are certified in that now, and so it's a very strict and stringent policy that has to be followed. And so the private data that's captured by private agencies, repo guys, whomever has that camera that's reading it from a private, that's not an accredited agency, they can share that into accredited agency data, but they can't share it back out. Right?
That's okay.
It's a one-way thing.
Yeah, I would say
so
that. That makes sense.
It is okay.
It's fair. It's fair that Disney gives the cops my stuff, and then the cops can tell me if I got to worry about it. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Very, very interesting. Now, let's look at this other one here.
Exactly.
Let me push this up. Okay, what are we looking at here? It looks like a traffic cam, or is that part of the license plates?
Now, these are these are part of the license plates. So these license plate readers traditionally were mounted on patrol vehicles. Okay, so patrol cruisers, and they still do that today because it's a very valid use. But now you're starting to see a lot of these being statically mounted in certain areas, certain choke points, large intersections, ingress egress points to cities, along interstates and highways where vehicles are just traversing all day long. Okay, so this example here are three license plate readers above a traffic intersection in a metropolitan city that are capturing all the vehicles coming into the city. Police want to know who's coming in. So that's what these cameras are doing. They're capturing every vehicle coming into their city.
When we talk about real time, what does real time mean to a license plate recognition camera?
We're talking milliseconds. So when a camera reads a plate, each one of those cameras, there's two cameras inside that enclosure. One that takes an actual snapshot of the vehicle, one that takes a snapshot of the plate itself. When it takes that snapshot of the plate, it uses an algorithm to convert it into text, plain text, and then it does a lookup in a database. The processor is actually on board this camera. So it does all of that processing on board and then immediately sends that read to a data center that stores that read.
Oh, that's amazing.
And you have that information.
Wow, fantastic. All right, I think I lost you 1 second. Let's pull up another one here. Okay. So if you can you still hear me?
Oh, lost you there for a second. Now you're
back. Oh, you're back. Okay. So this looks like a police body cam?
That's correct. This is from one of our other partners, Century 360. They have a fantastic new body camera. And as you can see here, this is the back of it. It has a large LCD screen for being able to review video, recorded video in the field. If that's a requirement. It can do video, it could do just audio, and it can take high resolution snapshots as well. And as you can see on the back here, there's two stickers. This one has 32 gigs of onboard memory, and it has built-in GPS. And this one particular model also has Wi-Fi built in as well.
That's Century 360, fabulous company. I've interviewed them two or three times at As Is.
Yep.
I like the guy that runs it. They're very innovative, and they have really good products out there. So I didn't know they had had done a body cam. I know they were talking about it, so I'll have to talk to him at As Is this year and see. Now, here's the second shot for that. Let's see. This is the body cam charging base.
Yep, so that's the side of the camera itself, and as you can see here, that.
Nope, lost you there for a second. Come on back, Jason. Oh, we lost Jason. Okay, hold on 1 second. We're going to get Jason back.
There we go.
There, you're back. Sorry.
It seems like when you're switching screens there, it kind of cuts out. So you have the record button for video, power button in there in the middle, the red one. You have your just audio only, and then your picture. And at the top, the yellow button there, the push to talk, if you wear a belt-worn radio, we can also integrate this body camera to wear on your shoulder or lapel and connect it to your belt-worn radio so you can use it as your remote mic.
Oh, that's
fabulous.
And
that remote mic will also record audio in both directions.
Is that voice over IP now with the radios? That's how that works?
Well, the radios have gone digital now. Ever since 9/11, when all the analog systems, because of being overloaded, a huge push has been since then to push everything into the digital world. So Motorola, Harris, a bunch of the wireless radio guys now are pushing everything over to digital.
Fantastic. All right, here comes another one. Let's see if we lose your audio. Are you still there?
Yep, still here.
This is
one of our static mounted cameras where we design a dedicated wireless network in the city. This particular city wanted a panoramic camera, and you can see that there. Hanwha is one of our partners, which used to be known as Samsung. They rebranded.
Oh.
But they have a fantastic camera line now. And this is one of their 5-megapixel 360 cameras. So the camera sees in a full 360-degree view all the time. So your traditional fixed camera and your traditional PTZ camera, where the deficiencies were, is if the camera was not pointing in the direction that the crime was occurring, you didn't capture it.
Right.
Well, with the panoramic cameras, you can see in a full 360-degree view, and you can de-warp separate images.
Oh, I lost you there for a second. dewarping. You were hitting on dewarping. That's a big new thing with cameras. Are you back?
Yep. Here we go.
Sorry, but
that's okay.
Explain dewarping to us. That's a. I mean, I know what it is, but tell my nieces and nephews who don't know anything about this, because that's a fascinating technology.
Sure. So with a 360 camera, it looks like a fishbowl, right? It's a big circular image. Everything is kind of warped into a circle, okay? But through the software, what you can do is you can actually flatten out that view on the screen onto a flat panel, and it would look like a traditional fixed or PTZ image on the screen. Now, the beauty of the 360 camera is, or the panoramic camera, you can still digitally pan, tilt, and zoom throughout the full 360-degree motion view of the camera and never miss a shot. So if you were to dewarp an image and point the camera in one location, if something were to occur behind it, you can go back into the recorded video and see what happened because the camera caught it in its native view.
That's amazing. Unbelievable. Okay, now it's
great technology.
Interesting story behind this building. Tell us about this.
So this is one of our clients in Maryland. They recently purchased this building, and they're going to gut it and upfit it and make it their new headquarters. Now, before that happens, obviously, there's going to be a lot of equipment, a lot of supplies and things of that nature that are going to be stored on this property. And, of course, this building is not occupied. So one of our Nomad cameras, and you can see it there at the top in the corner, it's that black cylinder there, has one of the 360 cameras in it. It also has a full-blown server built into the enclosure as well, runs Windows, and has a full terabyte of storage, so you can record for 30 days continuously, nonstop.
Wow.
In addition, it...
Nope, lost you there for a second. Come on back. Sorry about these technical glitches, everybody, but it is amazing that Jason's calling us from back east, so you're back. So you said it has a terabyte of storage locally, and then you said it in addition, and we lost you there.
Yep, sorry. It seems like the screen changes there kind of lose connectivity, so I apologize for that, folks. So, yes, it's running a full server in there, Windows, full terabyte of storage, so 30 days continuous video storage, and it uses the mode of transport as the cellular network. So there's a cellular router built into it as well with Wi-Fi and GPS capability. So essentially, when this building is done being upfit and it's occupied, they can take this camera off of the building and put it anywhere else in the city they want, plug in the power, and there they are watching the scene in that area. Yeah. That's the beauty of these cameras.
Unbelievable. All right, let's see. We got one more here. Let's see. Two more, I think, to show. All right. So now this, for people that, and you guys should watch this on YouTube and livestream.com, but we're looking at a picture, to me, looks like a typical electrical pole transformer. If I looked at this, I'd say, oh, that's a new transformer. But in fact, that's a camera.
Correct. And we have these both in overt and covert solutions. This one in particular is an overt solution. You can see on the bottom is one of the 360 panoramic cameras. Now, the enclosure itself, we have these extruded for us. This is it's essentially a plastic that doesn't crack, doesn't break, doesn't warp, and the sun won't break it down any color that you want. We can even make it look exactly like a transformer on the pole. We could put the isolators on top of it, make the power wires come out of the top. We could put utility numbers on it, a decal, whatever it is. On the covert models, again, the camera's tucked up inside, and we actually make a window all the way around the side on the bottom, and we cover it with a plastic, and we wrap it so it's seamless. There's no bumps. There's no breaks. It's completely seamless. You can't see in, but the camera can see out just is plain as day.
All right, here's our final photo. And now to me, this looks like two small, I don't know, DirecTV dishes maybe, and a box. This is your point-to-point radio wave solution, wireless solution?
Correct. This is part of a larger solution. This is a location that we had under construction at one point where we were putting point-to-point high-capacity wireless links where we were building a wireless network to connect an entire city. So we use rooftops. We can use various high-site locations, cell towers, water towers. We've used those in the past. And we build a dedicated wireless network to run all of this equipment on. Now, again, this would be more of a traditional citywide camera or multi-sensor solution where the city has the need or the want to build a dedicated wireless network that all of this runs on, and the cameras will typically be static mounted somewhere about the city. In this case, this particular city has cameras, they have emergency call boxes and various other types of sensor technology that run all on this in a dedicated fashion, feeds it all real time into the dispatch center, and dispatchers at the desk can view it all in real time.
So here's the feeling I'm getting. Every time I do a show, I leave the show and I go, oh, I don't feel very good anymore about something. Or I say, wow, I feel really good about something. I feel good about this. I feel this, although complicated and technologically driven, and there's a lot of moving parts in this, it seems like you have a handle on it. It seems like as an integrator, this is easy for you and you're making it easy for the client. I mean, a lot of this seems like a no-brainer to me. Yeah, I give me that pole, stick it up there. I get a whole month worth of storage. I'm in. Are you finding this is a hard sell to municipalities and cities that might not get the technology?
It takes a little bit of getting to explain to them what the capabilities are. Okay. A lot of police departments traditionally, when they see this, especially when we take this to shows or we bring it to a police department, show them, and we start to describe it, like you could see the gears turning a little bit. And then somebody will walk up and say, oh, that's a pole camera. Exactly. Right. So traditionally, yes.
I lost you for a second. But if they say it's a pole camera, let's get Jason back there. I'm sorry, Jason. If you say it's a pole camera, doesn't that kind of play dumb it down a little bit? Really? I mean, it's a pole camera, I guess, in the old school. It does, but to
some folks, it makes sense, right?
Okay.
And that's fine. But again, because of the scalability, the way we build these, the mounts that we have available for these, you don't have to put it on a pole. Right.
Right.
As I mentioned before, you saw that one in that one picture, it's on a building.
Right.
So we make modular mounts that you can put on, just about any type of structure and put this camera on it and plug power in. And then you're up and online and live. And again, remember, we call this mounted surveillance technology because it's not just cameras anymore.
Right.
The camera plays an important part, but there are other sensors that we can add to this solution that greater enhance the data capture that's happening in the environment around the camera that give you the ability to close cases faster.
Tell me about gunshot detection. The way we did it in the old days is we stood on top of Botts Field in Culver City and we watched over the city and saw the gun flashes going off during New Year's Eve. And we drove down there and trying to find the guy shooting the gun off. And boy, was there a lot of them. And one or two times, they landed near our car because people thought it was more safe to aim towards the park at the top of the hill, not hit a house, right? How nice of them.
Right.
So,
right.
But with these sound detectors now, how sophisticated are they? Can we tell that's a .45 and a .22, and can we triangulate and figure out whereabouts it's coming from?
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, in that technology realm, it's getting better and better every day, right? And one of the biggest ones out there, ShotSpotter, that does it very well, especially in the outdoor environments, yes, they can detect the caliber weapon that was fired. They can tell you where the shot originated from. And if you integrate that with a camera system, you can take the camera that's closest to the origination shot and tell it to point in that direction, while peripheral cameras around that area will pull back and look for people running, vehicles driving away, things of that nature. So that's where the integration piece comes in, right? And that's just two pieces that you're integrating, a camera and a gunshot detection system.
Now, this is going to be your fancy programming to make it do those things. But once it's set up and automated, it's kind of a no-brainer for the cops, right? They're just gathering the data and using it. Talk to me about the data talk about the data as evidence, right? Are we getting caught up on that part? Can you bring this up in front of a jury and say, you know, this is a 360 fisheye camera that's been warped? And do people say, what are you talking about? And they can't get their head around the technology for the evidence. What do you mean? What do you mean you could camera can see behind me? That makes no sense. Does this run into trouble when you're presenting evidence?
Not really. There have been times when we have been called into court to testify the validity of the video. The VMS manufacturers, so the video management system, you know, folks that write the software that you know, that run these cameras, record the video, and so on. They've done a very good job at creating different types of security levels within the software as well. And essentially, every single one of them out there, the big ones, right, the Genetecs, the Milestone, Exact, Salient, right, Pelco, they build into their video management system the ability to encrypt that video and detect whether or not it's been tampered with. Okay. And so you can actually take that video and export it to, say, a DVD or a thumb drive and hand it to a prosecutor through chain of evidence, and they can take it directly into a courtroom and play it and prove that the video has never been tampered with right in court of law. So they've done a very good job at being able to protect that data.
Boy, it beats the hell out of the Polaroid cameras we used to have. With the sergeant would complain that, you took three Polaroids. That cost us $2 each. We couldn't even get pictures back then. Now it's right. Changed quite a bit. It's pretty amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Yeah. I just love it.
Yeah. It has changed the landscape quite a bit. I mean, I could sit here and tell you stories all day long from all of our agencies and what they've been able to capture and take to court. And, you know, it's just been an absolute, you know, win for them. It makes it so much easier.
Tell us about a success story. You don't have to name names, but, you know, maybe tell us the circumstances.
Well, so we had an agency where they have various things spread out about their town that are artsy in nature. Okay, so they have an artisan community that created some things that they placed throughout their city, and you know, people can enjoy them as they're walking around the town and various shops and so on and so forth. And so that happens through the summer. And at the end of the year, what they do is they auction them off, and proceeds go obviously to the artists, but then there's some businesses that will help to promote them, and they'll put money in.
Oh, we lost it one more time. I apologize for that. Sometimes the technology is not as good as it's supposed to be. All right. So we lost you with the artist. Sometimes get the proceeds.
So they get some of the proceeds. Businesses will sponsor the artists, so they put money into it as well. And then they auction these things off at the end of the summer, and of course the money spread out throughout the community. Everybody wins. It's a great, great program. So one year they had one of these things sitting, you know, on the sidewalk, and a garbage truck had come early in the morning to pick up a dumpster and dump the trash and of course take it away. And so through the course of that, the dump truck actually hit one of these things and destroyed it. Well, the driver got out and he was nervous, and he kind of scooped everything up and threw it in the back of the garbage truck and took off. Right. So later that morning, when the local business owner who had sponsored that thing, he came in and saw it was missing. So he calls the police department, says, "Hey, this piece of art is missing." And so, you know, the chief went in and he pulled up the video, and he of course captured the whole thing on video. And so he calls the company then in charge of removing the rubbish from the dumpster there, and said, "Hey, listen, we have a problem here. We need you to come down." And so they bring him down, and the chief flat out asked him. He said, "Can you tell me what happened to that piece of art there on the sidewalk?" I said, "I have no idea." And he turns his monitor around and he hit play, and the whole thing is right there. You see him jump out of the garbage truck and he's scooping everything up, and you just see his head drop, you know. And it's like, okay, you know.
Oh, boy.
So it's funny, you know, nobody got hurt, so that's great.
Right.
It was sort of Keystone College. It was funny because you see him running around in circles, scooping everything up, throwing it back in the garbage truck. It was a great time. It was funny. But, things like that, and it's instances like that, it's great. It's a great resolution, right? Everything turned out great. But then there's the other side of it where things may not necessarily turn out so great. People are hurt. People are even killed. But our cameras capture that. And it saves a lot of time. It saves a lot of money for cities and litigation and insurance claims. And it's a real win for the community. It's not just for law enforcement, but for the community as a whole, really, is what it's about.
Now, I've had people on the show talking about video analytics. I had a guy in here a couple months ago, fabulous solution. He took a BMW dealer in Calabasas that I actually used to do the security contract for years ago, where I had two guards 24/7. I think I used to charge, $150,000 a year for that contract. And that was two guards about 16 hours a day, right? And the guard would sleep, and he wouldn't do his patrol. You know how the guard business is, right? So this guy on my show comes in, Elite Camera Solutions, Security Solutions, and he puts in an entire system. He pays for it. He puts in video analytics. 24 cameras cover the entire property, 24/7, 365. All of a sudden, they go from incidents and thefts and problems to zero. Replace the guard completely. Our municipalities, or some, let's say, maybe police organizations or other organizations, are they getting a little nervous about this and thinking, yeah, it saves us money, but are they thinking it could also cost us jobs? I mean, RoboCop is almost here, right?
Well, I wouldn't go that far just yet, even though I think it was just not too recently, I think in Dubai, they actually did just recently deploy the first robot cop in that city. But yeah, let's not get too crazy about that just yet. I'm sure that's a long way to go.
We don't want it there.
I know, right? Well, anyway, we tell our agencies, you know, what we try to be is simple as another tool in their belt. Okay. You've got your sidearm, your service weapon, you've got, a flashlight, you have handcuffs, you have your tasers, you have things of that nature. Those are all tools in your belt. We want to be another tool in that belt to help create better efficiencies for our law enforcement, the men and women in our law enforcement, so that they can solve crimes much faster, more efficiently. And hopefully make their job a little bit more safer too, right?
Sure.
As you know, and being law enforcement yourself, it's, to put that uniform on, I've never done it myself. So, to say that, but I have gone on ride-alongs with these folks, listened to their stories. Anything that we can do to help them be safer on the job, and create better efficiencies, we're going to do it every single day. We're going to strive to make it better for them every single day. That's our job.
Yeah, it's definitely more efficient. Are the dispatchers getting involved in this, where they're actually assigned, a camera bank and a bunch of monitors online, and they are kind of watching those alerts, or do those alerts go to you? Do they go to a central monitoring station? How does that part work?
So you hit it right on the head the first time. We feed all that back into the dispatch center. So you'll have your dispatcher sitting at the desk, working the radio, working the phone, and then they'll have a video wall there in front of them with all of the live feeds right there. If there's any additional sensor technology, whether it be the gunshot, whether it be, any type of the biohazard, nuclear detection, whatever other type of technology we have deployed for them, those alerts would immediately come to that screen. We can also send those alerts straight to an MDT in a police vehicle.
Oh, that's cool.
Or straight to a smartphone, right? You put it on a smartphone. I could pull live video up on a smartphone. I can pull recorded video from a smartphone. I could take a snapshot from my smartphone, and I could send it out as an email, as a bolo, to my entire team on shift saying, hey, just captured this vehicle on this camera. Be on the lookout for it. It was just in this area 5 minutes ago. Here's a snapshot of the vehicle. You can pull live video from your mobile data terminal in your police cruiser as well. So you could be on one side of the city, have cameras on the other side of the city, and you don't have to drive over there to see what's happening. You can sit right in your car, pull a live video up on your laptop, and there you go.
You can watch Security Guy Radio and Security Guy TV live on your phone. Just saying. Just saying. Check it out on the Livestream mobile
app.
Just saying. Well, you can watch this right now. How much are phones being used with the cops now? I always had an argument with the guard companies I used to run back in the day with the owners, because I got guards BlackBerries before they first came out. I wanted to give BlackBerries to all the guards. Very expensive, but by the way, very proficient, right? They could send all their logs on a text, and it was way ahead of its time. And then the rules started coming out where they'd say, oh, no guards can have a cell phone on your post. I say, baloney. I want them to have a cell phone. I want it to be on. It's a good form of communication in a crisis. How much are the cell phones being integrated with the police officers and first responders with this technology? I think it just has to happen. But maybe there's some rules that say, we don't want that.
It does happen, plain and simple. Because the technology does exist now, why not use it?
Right.
We still have cities that we service where they still have foot patrols, right? They're not in cars, they're not selling bikes, they're on foot patrol. And so they have the ability to pull cameras up. They can just pull their phone right off of their hip and pull live cameras right up on their phone and see what's happening around them, around the corner, down the street, two or three blocks down the street. wherever they need to see it, whenever they need to see it, they pull the phone out and there it is. And where that creates better efficiencies? Well, if you have an area where you have cameras and you're on foot patrol, not to say you don't have to go down there to put eyes on physically, but right. if there's another area of interest that you feel you need to be in, you can go there instead and still have eyes on the other location, just pulling it up on your phone.
Well, I think it makes it a lot safer. I mean, if I can look around the corner down the street before I get to the location, that's a super good safety issue for a police officer. That's vital.
Sure.
I don't let I don't let facts get in the way here on Security Guard Radio. We never let facts get in the way, but we like statistics, which are kind of like facts. So,
sure.
is there any data on how crime gets reduced in these areas with this sort of application? It must go down. I can't imagine it goes up.
Well, I tell you, traditionally and typically what we see is we go into a city that has areas or pockets of areas that have crime, right? And it can just be – it can be petty crime. You can have folks congregating in an area late at night, simple B&Es, break-in, you know, breaking and entering. It could be, you know, theft, breaking, you know, smash and grabs in a vehicle, something of that nature, right? We put a camera in that area, that element goes away. Because they know they're being watched.
Right.
And so eventually what happens is we slowly start to push that element out of an area because we're just simply dropping cameras into areas to keep an eye on them. And here's what happens. You've got an area where folks are congregating late at night, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. You have some malicious activity going on. Chief or the captain comes and says, hey, we want to put a camera in this area because we want to keep an eye on this area. We drop that camera on the street. As soon as they figure out what it is, they're not there anymore. They're gone. They move on. They go find another area where there's no cameras. And then, so essentially what you're doing is you're starting to corral that activity and literally start to push it out of the city or out of the area that it's occurring in. And where we talk about the greater efficiencies is if you have a camera there and something does happen, a police officer could be on scene 15 to 20% faster than if you were waiting for someone to report that crime and call 911 and say, hey, something's happening here, send a police cruiser. Because they're seeing it in real time.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, I can see it changing behavior, stopping crime. Maybe the data is a little too early. Enough has not been gathered. But I could also see this actually modifying people's behavior. Eventually, if this is Minority Report and there's a camera on every corner and everybody knows what you're looking at and what's going on, you're going to start to act differently. By the way, not for it. Just saying. However, it's here. That's where we are. I mean, everything's on cameras nowadays. Any data on how this actually improves people's behavior and has them stop acting like idiots, for lack of a better term?
You know, honestly, for lack of a better term, If you're going to be an idiot, you're going to be an idiot. It just happens.
That's true.
Here's what we've seen. When you first put cameras up, there's a lot of buzz about it, right? A lot of people talk. You know, our trucks are out on the street. We're up on poles, right? We got cones out. Lights are going. We're putting cameras up. People are stopping by. Hey, what are you doing up there? Oh, we're putting cameras up, so on and so forth. There's a lot of buzz about it, right? So it's a big dust up. You give it a couple of months, that dust settles. And the cameras literally just fade into the environment. They just fade into the scene. They just become another thing out there in the environment that is sitting on a pole doing its thing. And people will tend to just forget about it. Some don't, but the majority do. They just forget it's there and they go on about their life. They go on about their day. I've even seen it, literally. I was standing in this is for a client a number of years ago we did. We were standing in there. We built a dedicated room just for two officers to sit at a desk and look at screens in real time all day long. And we had a camera on a street corner. The drug dealer was on the opposite street corner. The camera was in plain view all day. I mean, it wasn't a covert one. It wasn't hidden, nothing. Plain view. And the guy is dealing drugs on a street corner directly across the street. He'd sell the drugs. He would run across the street, across the vacant lot, pick up his stash from, you know, this little knot hole in the fence, run back over to the corner, deal again. And we're watching it all live on the camera. And, you know, of course, the narcotic guys swoop in. They arrest the guy. They haul him off. 3 hours later, there's another guy that took his place on the corner selling drugs. The camera's in wide open view. And I know they all talk, but – either they don't care or they're just that dumb. Right. I don't know. I really just don't know. But for the vast majority, honestly, there's that dust up and then it settles and they blend into the environment and people just go on about their day as if they weren't there. Now, when something does happen and the police are able to capture it, they're able to bring it to justice, then it does. It comes back into the limelight again because that usually hits the news. It's seen in court. And then the people that complain about it initially are saying, bravo, thank you very much for putting that on our street.
Well, now, it's interesting. I see police body cams, and a lot of people see a police body cam and they think, what was that police officer thinking? He knows he has a body cam and so on. I don't view it that way. The first thing I say is, was he able to articulate what he was doing and explain his actions before the video started and after the video stopped? Because there's the backstory and the end story, right? Are you finding that there's resistance still with the body cams, or has that kind of gone away now? Or some places may come in and say, hey, Jason, I want you to wire the whole city, but we're going to skip the body cam thing. What are you finding in that part of the business?
Yeah, we do still see some agencies that are reluctant to wear the body cameras. Reasons why there are many reasons. Okay, but ultimately, at the end of the day, I've seen it. I physically have seen it myself. Once an officer identifies that they have a body camera or they're wearing a body camera and they're recording, an incident or recording an investigation or recording the conversation changes. I've seen, and it's been amazing to me. Unless you live under a rock today, you see what's happening in society. You see what's happening around the world. Law enforcement may not necessarily be the most liked, group on the planet today, right? But ultimately, at the end of the day, the men and women in our law enforcement community, they're servants. They serve our communities. They're here to help us. They're here to keep law and order. They're here to keep the fabric of society together, okay? Not let the edges fray. Not let the fabric of society fall apart. And I think, people tend to lose that understanding of why they're there. You have a bushel of apples, you're going to have one or two and a bunch that are bad. That's just human nature, and I get it. I think everybody needs to get that. But at the end of the day, these people are here to help us. They're here to serve our communities. Nobody tells them they have to do this job. They ask to do this job. Same thing with our men and women in the armed forces. Nobody tells them that they have to put themselves in a line of fire. They do it voluntarily. And I have the utmost respect for those people. Today, and I always will. And if there's anything that we can do on a daily basis to help them to do that job and to serve our communities every day and to keep us safer, we're going to do it.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I used to carry a little tape recorder around when they first came out. Remember the micro cassettes? They started making them in a personal recorder back in the 80s. It would fit right in your pocket, about the size of a credit card. And I used it. If somebody started mouthing off in the field, I'd turn it on. But you know where I got more use out of it? Was recording those dumbass supervisors that I worked for and some of those lieutenants and sergeants that had no idea what they were doing, and they shot up the police car, and that's where they got promoted, right? So I would encourage my brothers and sisters in blue to use these body cams for nothing else than to CYA for some of the management you have in your police department today, because some of that is very politically driven, especially if they're appointed and not civil servants. And they serve at the whim of the mayor and the politics involved. It's really, really different. Jason, this has been really enlightening, very fascinating. Thanks so much. We had a couple little glitches, but I think we got past them. Give us your website. I'm going to put up your graphic here one more time so we can see that. But give us your website, how we can get a hold of you. By the way, I forgot to ask you, do you do nationwide or is it mostly local or what?
So right now we're servicing everything from Illinois, Indiana to the East Coast, everywhere from Vermont, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida. And our Nomad platforms, we can serve nationwide. We can serve globally because the Nomad platform is something that we build to your specifications program it, test it, and we can drop ship it right to you. It runs right out of the box. If you need some assistance with mounting it and getting it up and online, of course, we can be there for you and help you with that. But yeah, we can pretty much cover the U.S. if need be. Wherever our services are needed, we're going to be there to help.
I know you have a good product because I understood everything you said, and that's the – that's a litmus test for the small security guy radio brain to get all this stuff and make it work. So I know my fellow police officers will get it as well. Jason Nagy, J and M as in Mary, jandmsecuritysolutions.com. Find them on the web and check it out. And right. Thanks for coming on Security Guy TV. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. Good night.
Good night.